Can you guess the hymn title that this verse comes from? O Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. You probably know that as the closing verse in Horatio Spafford's classic hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. But did you know that he wrote it while on a ship, passing by the very place where his own daughters had drowned? Hi, I'm Pastor Joel of Heart City Church, and you've joined us as we continue our journey through James the Apostle's letter. And James knows that we encounter tragedies in this life that make no sense. And that is why the Apostle now addresses the church living in a broken world when he writes in chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains? You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Friend, how much time do we spend each week longing for Christ's return? Do you know that in the early church, it was considered almost heretical to not long daily for our Lord Jesus Christ's return? And that is what the Apostle James is encouraging here. He says it twice. James calls us to be patient because Christians are to understand that God made a calendar. There is a final chapter to the story of mankind on earth, and it ends with the coming of the Lord. Verse 7 is James' call to remain patient. James says, remember the fact of the Lord's return. And verse 8 is a reminder that the coming's at hand. James is emphasizing the nearness of the Lord's return. Now that second part, believing in the Lord's nearness, it can be difficult, right? In fact, James wrote the Lord's coming was at hand to an audience that lived 2,000 years ago. They probably assumed they would see it in their lifetime, but they didn't. And now here we are, and we can now find ourselves wondering when trials come, is the Lord ever going to return? The Apostle Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3, verses 8 and 9, Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God is not slow. See, his perspective on history and time is different than ours because he actually stands outside it. You and I think we can be thankful the Lord didn't return 2,000 years ago. Otherwise, you and I do not exist, and we never get to participate in this story of redemption and see its conclusion. And our patient God, he's still giving folks time to repent and be saved. I think that's a help to us, as perishing eternally is the greatest of all tragedies. And of course, James also gives us a help to bolster our patience. He gives us an illustration, the farmer. In the ancient Near East, the farmer would go and till his field, go out and plant a seed, and then he would have to wait for his crop. And think about it, the farmer has very little control of the outcome of his work. He's entirely dependent on the two rainy seasons. So the farmer is depending on God's promise, not just for the rain, but for the harvest. So more, he's actually counting on the fact that God does not change. We call this God's providence. Can you imagine if you saw this farmer standing in his field with his fist raised to the sky and he started screaming, God, won't you hurry up already? You're frustrating me. I've decided I want my harvest 6 weeks early. You would think there's something wrong with this fellow, that he doesn't understand farming. No, says James, the farmer's life is characterized by patience. The farmer submits himself to God's timetable, and so should we. James says, be confident that God will keep his promise. When we recognize that we must live by God's schedule and submit to whatever the Lord in his providence sets before us, then we are able to establish our hearts. Friends, are your hearts established? Do you realize that it is the afflictions that reveal the condition of our hearts? John Calvin once said, "Afflictions ought ever to be estimated by their end." He is saying that we can only make sense of our tragedies when we choose to live by God's timetable and His coming, the end that is coming. See, friends, our lives will never make ultimate sense until the author of the story steps out onto the stage on that glorious day when the trump resounds and history is brought to its conclusion. And then we'll understand what he was up to, and we'll understand how glorious he is, and how much he truly loved us, how he was watching out for us in the dry seasons and protecting us through all of life's storms. I won't pretend I know much of what will be revealed that day, but I do know that I'll find myself saying, "Oh, would that I had been a little less reactive to all the afflictions, a little more trusting, a little more patient, because my loving God was using every trial to do me good." And we'll know that as our Savior pulls back the curtain of that glorious, completed masterpiece that only a perfect God could paint. And then he will say, "Now, dear one, do you see what I was doing? My friend, remember who you are and who you belong to."